This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
On the southern coast of England, there are seagulls flying higher, still higher than before. It's as though they've been hoisted like a flag. When the battle has been won, you can hear the ocean roar. On Marina Harbor, there's a good wind for sailing, and they leave me standing on the shore. We're seagulls.
What a 24 hours it has been. Premier League football postponed until April the 3rd, but it may not restart there. It's simply a case of COVID-19 football nil. We'll be discussing its impact throughout the world of football, how it's going to impact football fans, how it will impact the season moving forward. For a Seagulls, who are still without a win in 2020, it got a bit better last weekend, a goalless draw with Wolves, but still looking for that first W of the decade. It is the Brighton Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined as ever by Josh Goldsmith of the Together podcast. Hello, Josh.
Hi, Matt. How's it going?
Yeah, good, thank you. Adam Stenning of the Argus as well with us on the line. Hello, Adam.
Hi, yeah, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you, guys. Great to have you with us here on the Brighton Fan Show. Do hope you're both self-isolating, taking all the necessary precautions, washing your hands, etc., etc. It's quite lonely in the studio tonight, I'm not going to lie to you. Just here on my own, because we are taking our own measures here at Love Sport. Of course, we have to at the moment. These are testing times with coronavirus breaking its way through the nation. Graham Potter, Brighton manager, has already spoken about the fact there will be no Premier League football potentially until April the 3rd. Here is what he had to say.
I think we'd all agree that football isn't the most important thing in the world. People's safety and health is far more important than that. And then we have to do what we think is the right thing.
Simply, we have to do what we think is the right thing, gents. Josh, I'll come to you first. Of course, you aren't here in the UK. We spoke on your very first show here on Love Sport on the Brighton Fan Show that you're based out in the US. You've got your own platform out there. Talk to us about the situation in the US compared to what it is to the UK right now.
Yeah, so it hasn't really progressed as far here, they think. But at the same time, we also aren't running very many tests. So I'm in the middle of Charlotte, North Carolina, which is a pretty major city in the U.S., and we are currently being given 3 tests for the entire county. And once we've used those 3 tests, we'll get another 3. And when you think South Korea are testing 10,000 people a day, it's absolutely insane. They are not prepared. They are woefully underprepared. And I am just thankful that my job today just informed me that I should be working from home until April as well. So at least I'm being given the ability to stay out of the way.
It's quite incredible, isn't it? And this recently, to be fair, in the past hour or so, Donald Trump has declared a national emergency, hasn't he? He said, you know, it's going to bring probably 1.4 million tests next week, 5 million in a month. His overriding goal is to stop the virus. He said that he's likely to be tested, even though he's not showing any symptoms. But it just goes to show as well, the action he's taken is going to open up $50 odd billion, I should say.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that he's acting. I think he's acted a little bit quicker than a lot of other, you know, countries have, because we've got the ability to see it unfold over here, you know. And a lot of people, I think, didn't think he would react just because, you know, the general appealing opinion of Trump isn't great. But I'm glad he did it. And, you know, at this point, it's just a case of trying to stem the flow. The delay phase is in place, and I think that the US probably needs to get in line and continue with that too.
Adam, the feeling in and around the club, of course, you're close to it there, reporting on all matters. I bet it's been a quite, I mean, it's incredible, isn't it? Because there has been no football, or there is going to be no football, but is it arguably busier than it normally would be?
Well, I think, yeah, I think it has been busier around the club. Obviously, they've been putting in measures to, you know, keep within those guidelines and follow all the sort of government rules on how to do it. I mean, when we've had the press conferences recently, you have to fill in all these forms, and if you've been to certain countries or certain parts of the world that have been affected by this, then you have to tick yes, or if you're showing any symptoms, even like a cold or something like that, if you tick yes, then you have to stay away for the safety of the yourself, but also everyone that you could be exposing to anything that they shouldn't be. So, you know, and there's things like hand sanitizer and that you had to do before you get into the training ground and stuff like that. So they have been putting in plenty of sort of measures to protect everyone involved at the club. And I think, you know, obviously it was heightened in the last few days with what happened with Mikel Arteta and all that at Arsenal. So it sort of heightened that way. And I think that's when it started getting a bit more serious as well.
It is extraordinary, isn't it, that you were due to play Arsenal this weekend. And when that news popped up last week, we were on air at the time, and there was a real sense, and we were doing some fan shows, I think it was the AFC Wimbledon fan show at the time, and people really sort of sat back, because the implications now this is going to have on football moving forward is just huge, not just for players, not just for the management, not just for the Premier League, but for the fans as well. And Josh, listen, behind closed doors, games have been mooted. We're being told it's April the 3rd. Apparently, that is not going to be likely. Already, we're hearing that, listen, they've thrown that date out. We're not even sure how they've come up with that date. It's only a few short weeks away. If this is as serious as we're led to believe it is, you know, we're hearing that Europe is now the epicenter of the coronavirus pandemic. So if it is the epicenter and you're saying, listen, you've got 3 weeks now, and don't worry, we'll all be back in action, it's absolutely not going to happen. No chance.
No, I think that's exactly right. I think they're being incredibly optimistic on setting that date. But I think they're kind of setting a minimum date and then kind of wording it very flexibly so they can kind of push it out if they need to. But yeah, like, it's not going to disappear in 2 weeks, and it's probably going to get worse no matter how much we try and kind of self-isolate and do better. So I think that the idea of everything going back to normal on April 4th is just rubbish. It's not going to happen. I suspect by April 4th that the US is probably going to be in a situation that most of Europe is in now, and who knows how Europe are going to be, you know? I think that April 4th is incredibly optimistic, and I'm not sure if we're even going to see a ball kicked until August.
Well, this is the interesting case, isn't it? Before we get on to that, to be fair, I just want to very quickly touch on Dr. Sarah Jarvis. She is the clinical director at Patient Access. She was on the Kelvin McKenzie show earlier on today with Johnny Burrow and Steve Hodge. And here's what she had to say about stadium closures and behind closed doors games.
I think it's a really interesting one, and it clearly, from your perspective, is extremely important and the millions of football fans and other sports fans in this country. What we need to bear in mind is that 30,000 people gathered in one place in the open air is almost certainly no more dangerous than, and may well be less dangerous than, 1,000 times 30 people crammed into a stuffy pub breathing and coughing on each other. And I think that's really been part of the concern that, you know, given that not all sport is available in every home and not everybody can stay home to watch it, people are going to congregate. And if they congregate in small groups in enclosed spaces, they're putting themselves at just as much at high risk. So I think the idea of doing it behind closed doors and everybody going down to the pub to watch it actually is completely wrong. The question is whether we should stop it altogether.
It's interesting that, isn't it, Josh, because there is this feeling of playing behind closed doors, but then, you know, the result of that is that everybody goes to the pub and watches it. And she's saying, listen, there's no difference there. That was she's a doctor, Sarah Jarvis. She's the clinical director at Patient Access. And she's saying there's absolutely no difference between 30,000 fans cramming into a stadium and, you know, 300 people cramming into a pub. It's the same thing.
Yeah. She's spot on, isn't she? It's going to make no difference. Those 100 people that go to the pub are going to go home and see their families. And if they have been infected or caught by this stuff, it's going to be spread amongst them. And then they're going to continue to spread it and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's a tough thing to decide on. I know they've said that that they're not going to be able to televise any of the 3 p.m. games, which I presume is maybe another kind of follow-on from that. They don't want people to get all together at the same time. But are they just going to kind of make a rule that people can't go to the pub at that point to watch the game? I don't know. It's like we've said, it's a totally unprecedented situation, and how they deal with it is going to be very interesting.
Just before I come to you, Adam, on a bit of news, Josh, I just want to very quickly touch on one more thing you said there. You said you think another ball won't be kicked in earnest until mid-August. Now, we've had this conversation all throughout the night and all the fan shows we've done thus far, and it's fascinating to hear the various different responses that come back. For you, as a Brighton fan, as things stand, of course, perilously close to that relegation zone, if the season was to stop now, and that was it, and what will be, and we scrap everything, and we go again next season. Would you take that? Or as a football fan, would you go, no, do you know what, we have to finish the season because that's simply what football has to be? And if so, when do we finish that season? Do we go, okay, and you're saying mid-August there is when you're estimating it's all going to restart again. We go, okay, we play the remaining 9 games across mid-August through to, what, the beginning of October, and then what happens for the following season? Do we then just quickly take a 3-week break and go again?
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest key, right? Like, when are we going to make up for them if we play them? You know, even if it's ready to go in May or June, there's a bunch of stadiums that are, you know, the high capacity stadiums that probably have gigs and concerts and prior arrangements built in. And, you know, if you're going to have to cancel that to get games in, that's a loss of money. That's a loss of money. And in fact, those concerts or gigs may be more money-making than the game itself. I know that Tottenham and West Ham, I'm sure, have got a lot of those kind of things as well. And for me, I feel like, you know, with all of Europe shutting down like this, and you've got all of the leagues now suspending with the German League, Spanish League, French League, and Premier League, I think it really needs to come across from FIFA. I think they need to kind of pull themselves together and make some kind of group statement at this point as to how they can see the rest of the European season going as a group. They've cancelled the Champions League, they've cancelled the Europa. So, I mean, I kind of expect them to take the lead on this, which is dangerous to expect anything from FIFA. But, you know, I feel like that should be their job now at this point to say, well, if all of Europe is grinding to a halt, this is how we're going to deal with it across all the leagues, because they're all in the same situation.
Adam, as a journalist but a football fan first and foremost, the statement did come out today from the Premier League, didn't it? And Chief Exec Richard Masters said, listen, firstly and foremost, Mikel Arteta, Callum Hudson-Odoi, we wish you speedy recoveries. They then mentioned the unprecedented situation. They're working closely with the clubs, with the government, the FA, the EFL. I mean, Josh has just mentioned FIFA there. The Premier League have also said, you know, despite the challenges, it's our aim to reschedule the displaced fixtures, even including those plays by academy sides when it's safe to do so. They've said, listen, further updates will be delivered in due course. It's difficult, isn't it? Because this is a, you know, a hypothetical situation at the moment. It's unprecedented. We don't know what is going to happen. But what's your take on where we go from here? Josh has given his perspective. We've heard so many different responses. What would you suggest for the Premier League moving forward? Do you think a simple cut-off, that's it, we'll just have to scrap everything? Or is there some way we can establish, you know, promoted teams, title winners, relegated teams? I mean, it's such a blurry minefield, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is a massive sort of question mark, isn't it? What you do, it obviously it all depends on how long it takes for the sort of suspension to lift, because if you get to that April 4th, they push it back again another 3 or 4 weeks, and that keeps going for 2 or 3 times more. You end up in sort of, you know, July time, we're talking by then. So does it get to a point where if this coronavirus keeps going and going, and you just think, actually, maybe it might be, I wonder if at some point they have to go, look, we're going to have to cut this season off at some point if it gets too ridiculously long between playing the games, because, you know, is that, there could be that thing of, is it slightly unfair to leave that long between gaps? But then obviously there's people, you know, teams like Liverpool won't want that to happen, because obviously, you know, that's their title, you know, scrapped. And obviously, you know, it's one of those things where I think it all depends on how big this pandemic will be and how long it lasts, because until we know the full scale and how long it's going to take to get over the pandemic, I don't think anyone knows what the actual decision because there's going to be three or four different options on the table, I think. And I think you've just got to take it week by week and just see how the situation is then, really.
Yeah, the old classic day by day. We'll take each game as it comes. But actually, we're going to have to take each day as it comes because there are no games, of course. This is the Brighton Fan Show. We'll speak more to the guys in a moment or two. We will touch on the game against Wolves last weekend, of course, because primarily this is a football fan show. So we have to touch on the action. A 0-0 draw for Graham Potter's men. Still not a win, but not a bad result against a team very much in form in the Premier League. That's coming next.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
Brighton Fan Show here on Love Sport, the station giving fans a voice. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance, where you can take the stress out of managing your van insurance with Churchill. Our comprehensive policies offer you peace of mind, 24-hour accident recovery, £500 cover for loss or damaged audio equipment, plus guaranteed repairs for 5 years. Visit the van page at churchill.com. Churchill is underwritten by UK Insurance Limited, and Churchill Van is arranged and administered by Brightside Insurance Services Limited.
This is Love Sport.
I'm joined by Josh Goldsmith of the Together podcast and Adam Stenning, Albion reporter for The Argus. Adam, I just wanted to quickly touch on a lovely story that's come out today as well, and that is that Albion are going to donate surplus food to local homeless charities. Now, this was done by Aston Villa as well. I think food banks were basically set up. They posted a picture of all the food that would have been used at this weekend's game and said, listen, if you have a charity that can benefit from this, please do get in touch with us. This is ultimately what should be happening, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it shows that togetherness that, you know, obviously clubs go to great lengths to prepare food for sort of hospitality and all the guests for the game. So, you know, I think it's great that they actually give back to the city. But I mean, with Brighton, they've said that it's going to be distributed around Brighton Hove. So, I mean, the local area will feel the benefits of their generosity as well, which is great.
And also, Josh, not just that, they've come out today as well and said that they are committed to paying staff unable to work due to the coronavirus. And that's going to take place right up until the end of the season. And we might look at that and go, well, of course, that should be the case. But it's not always as easy as that, is it?
No, exactly, and I mean, there's a lot of clubs that aren't even committed to paying a living wage for their staff. So, you know, I think that Albion are leading by example, along with, I think you said, Villa as well, and I think Fulham have also donated food to the homeless today. You know, these clubs are leading by example, and you know, there's a whole lot of food at Old Trafford and the Emirates and, you know, Chelsea that could probably go to these spots too. So I hope that they read it and see what they're doing and make it work for them too.
It's staggering, isn't it, the amount of food that you actually consider that goes into hospitality, not just your burgers and your pies and your pizzas. To be fair, it's a bit more upmarket these days, isn't it? You can get sweet potato fries and all sorts at Spurs, I believe. But the amount of food that goes into the operation is ginormous. So, yes, hopefully that can go to a good cause, of course. Adam, also Paul Barber, the deputy chairman, he's come out as well, hasn't he? He's spoken to MyAlbion TV today. He said it's the right decision. We have to prioritise people's health. It's changing by the hour. And that is the key thing here. It is changing by the hour. We're very much in the middle of the storm that's just started in the Premier League and the Football League and beyond in the world of sport. Listen, it was, what, less than 2 days ago, Boris Johnson was addressing the nation saying sport will continue. It's only a few hours after that that the governing bodies have met and gone, actually, no, it's not going to continue. So we just don't know what's going to happen.
No, that's the thing. We're totally, you know, in limbo. We don't know what's going to happen from the next hour to the next day to, you know, the next minute even. So you just have to sort of almost go with the flow and see what happens, because as you say, a couple of days ago sporting events were going ahead, you know, there was no question marks over any of these sort of games, and then all of a sudden today you've had Premier League, WSL, all the EFL, you know, National League is the only one I think that have said they're going to proceed with their games. So you've got the National League South and National League North are going ahead, but I mean, even sort of going down into sort of lower than that, I think some of them have been postponed as well, just to be safe with the guidance that they've received. So, I mean, it's really had an effect on all sort of sports, both, you know, in this country and worldwide. So I think you've just got to take it day by day and just see what the situation is day by day here in this country. And I think the Prime Minister now will see that, you know, saying they were going ahead with sporting events is, you know, it shows how much this coronavirus can be can, you know, sort of change in a couple of days, really.
Yeah, it certainly can. It's worth mentioning as well that Paul Barber did say that everybody who's got tickets, hold on to them. They'll be contacted as soon as possible, as soon as the club have an idea of what's happening going forward. He did reiterate the fact that the intention right now is to fulfil all the fixtures. One of those, Josh, was played last weekend, of course, against Wolves. Big game in the Premier League for Brighton. We're going to talk a bit of football because it is a football fan show, after all. It was a goalless draw at Molineux, and Wolves were in a pretty good run of form. They'd scored 12 in their last four coming into the game, so you did expect goals, but you also expected Brighton to maybe get a good result. Unbeaten in six at Molineux now, I think it is. Clean sheets in the last four as well, so not the worst result in the world.
No, I thought it was a very good result. I think that we went up to Wolves with a very similar attitude to the Sheffield United game, where it was kind of keep a clean sheet first, score second. But I think that we looked a lot more effective on the attack than we did against Sheffield United. I think we worked out far too defensively against Sheffield. And I think that we were much better at being able to transition the play. I think it helped that I think Bissouma had the best game I've seen him have for the Albion ever. I thought he totally ran the midfield. And, you know, if you can run the midfield and kind of make that work for you when you're playing against Neves and Dendonka and Moutinho, I think you're always going to do pretty well, whoever you are. So I thought it was a really good point, and I think that we played the right way as well.
Took him until 74 minutes, Adam, to even get a shot on target, Wolves. That was through Raul Jimenez. That is nothing. It's unheard of this season for Wolves to have to take so long to get a shot on target.
Yeah, no, I think it showed how well Brighton defended there. I think, obviously, Lewis Dunk on his 300th appearance at the back was, you know, superb. Again, he's been one of the standouts this season and stepped up a gear under Graham Potter, and as soon as he's been given that armband permanently. So, you know, they all put in a real shift, and as Josh mentioned, Dee Bissouma played superbly and has done superbly well in the last few weeks, actually. So, you know, I think it was something like, I think when I looked at it, Wolves had only not scored in, I think it was something like three games at home this season. So that just shows how well Brighton defended and how valuable a point it was, really.
Mm. And Josh, a man that we've spoken about many times on this show before, of course, Alexis McAllister. So close. He's getting so close to his first start for Brighton in the Premier League. And boom, games go and get postponed. Unbelievable for the lad.
Yeah, right. We paid, like, what, $1 million to get him back and see 10 minutes of him if they end up not playing again this season. I thought he was excellent, though, for the kind of 10 minutes he came on. He looked very hungry to get the ball. He looked dangerous on set pieces. He certainly didn't look like he was struggling to keep up with the flow of the game. So I'm kind of disappointed because I was half expecting him to maybe even get a start this weekend. We all always traditionally do pretty well against Arsenal as well. So it was a bit disappointing to see it all fall apart this week.
That is part of it as well, isn't it? It's that momentum. And listen, Brighton don't really have momentum at the moment, of course, without a win in 2020. But that result might have just spurred the lads on, as you say, a good record against Arsenal as well. So it's a hard one. Do you look at it and listen, we don't want to, it's quite crass to use terms like blessing in disguise, but does it give the team maybe a chance to kind of go back to the drawing board, regroup for the rest of the season?
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because you never want to kind of talk about something as bad as this as something that's like a bright side. But if there is a bright side, I guess there is a chance for, you know, players to kind of recover if they needed to and do whatever they need to do to kind of get further bedded in. But yeah, I'm not entirely sure. I think I'm more bothered about the playing behind the closed doors because I think that the fans would be instrumental in home games like that against teams like Arsenal. So I think that, you know, I'd rather us not play at all if we're going to play behind closed doors.
Josh, thank you very much for your time this evening. Adam Stenning, Albion reporter for the Argus as well. Thank you for joining us. This has been the Brighton and Hove Albion fan show. Of course, no games this weekend, but we will be back next week, same time, 9:30 here on Love Sport, with all the further reaction, no doubt, from the coronavirus outbreak. And I'm sure this time next week, there will be plenty more information to discuss. We will see you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.